over 24 Breeders' Cup victories, a Triple Crown under his belt. I like to call him the King of Queens for his fortune and his amazing rides on some of the best fillies and mares we've ever seen. Hall of Famer Mike Smith, nice enough to join us now on Red Brand Radio. Mike, it's Anthony and Bobby here. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys? Hope you're staying healthy and safe.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. How does it ever get old hearing that call, hearing Tom and that 94 Travers?
No, it brings up some great memories. I was actually just showing someone that same video about a week ago, actually. I was talking to Flavian Pratt, and he was asking me about the old good horses I used to ride. I asked him if he ever watched Holy Bull Run. He goes, no, not really. And so I pulled up a lot of videos, and that was the last video that I'd shown him of Holy Bull.
So a week and a half ago, so you just wrapped that conversation up with all the good horses you've ridden in your career, correct?
No, it was just funny that that you guys picked that one, because I was just showing it to, like I said, to him, and I was talking about how great a horse he was.
I'm sure that's high up there on the list, but let's go to Saratoga for me. Is that the most memorable Saratoga moment of your career?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been blessed to have won a lot of great races there. But, yeah, Holy Bull will always hold a special place in my heart as far as, you know, the great horses I've been blessed enough to have ridden. He was the one that the first time that I really saw the people get behind, you know, where they had signs, the people wore their T-shirts, and everybody was Holy Bull this and Holy Bull that, and you know, I'd ridden a lot of good horses before, but I never saw the crowd, you know, get behind a horse like they did him. And I mean, to a big extreme, actually, the only horse that I thought maybe probably got a bigger crowd or a bigger following was Zenyatta, you know.
Yeah, you certainly know about the great race mare Zenyatta. So, Mike, you have been around the world. You've been doing this over 30 years. I know you're 25 years. You've been doing this over 30 years now. Unprecedented times we're living in. We talked to Frank Miramati, the voice of Santa Anita, yesterday. Of course, you guys have some unusual protocol going on over at the Great Race Place right now. And Frank touched upon yesterday, you guys are actually, the jockeys check in Friday, and you guys don't leave. Tell us a little bit about the living conditions right now, basically on site at Santa Anita Park.
Yeah, you know, L.A. County is been hit the hardest as far as the COVID virus. They have a lot of cases around here, and probably the most amount of deaths. So the protocols are a whole lot tougher than, so say, you know, Long Beach, where Los Al is only about 45 minutes away. They don't have to quarantine like we do, or up in Golden Gate. But we'll take a test every Wednesday morning. We take a test, and then we clear on probably late this afternoon, the test clear, and then in the morning we all go into our little trailers that we have assigned to us, and you stay there the nights that you ride. So right now we're racing 3 days a week, so you're really only in there Friday night and Saturday night. Of course, last weekend was a longer weekend, so it was three nights that we were in there. But yeah, you check in on Friday morning, and then you get to leave as soon as the races are over on Sunday, and then the whole routine, you know, starts over again as far as you take another test on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, and as long as you clear, you go back in again. And, you know, you have a quarantine area, a designated area that you can stay in, and can't get out of that area until it's time to leave.
Do you guys interact at all while you're there for the weekend? Are you guys allowed to interact?
Yeah, we get to hang out with each other because we've all tested, of course, negative. So, yeah, we're all in these, they call them star wagons. Trailers that they use for the movie sets right now, you know, they're not making any movies, so Santa Anita was able to acquire them, and to be honest with you, I mean, it's like luxury camping. I mean, each trailer is a two-bedroom and has a divider, you know, has a kitchenette, shower, man, you got your smart TV, and they got great accommodations for you. They got, you know, 24-hour kind of service for you as far as, you know, coffee, water, milk, whatever it is you need, snacks, and then at nights they have dinner for us. It's really, Santa Anita's gone above and beyond what they probably even needed to make this work. And so I got to really, really give them, you know, take my hat off to them for doing so.
What was the initial reaction as a whole from the jocks room? Was there any kind of resistance to this at first? You know, as one of the elder statesmen, obviously.
Sure, all of us. I think anyone would tell you're going to have to go live in a trailer. We were all like, what? You know, I only live about a mile and a half from Santa Anita, and I can quarantine myself in my own house. Why do I have to live in a trailer? You know, we were just so happy to get back to racing, and that's what the Board of Health required of us, to get back to racing. And you know what? We're going to have to sacrifice. And so we all did. But in doing so, like I said, Santa Anita really stepped up to the plate. They made it about as comfortable as possible, man. It's really not bad at all. It's actually pretty nice. We've all kind of had a good time getting to know each other a little better. And then, you know, when the races are over, we have a nice dinner. We have movie night and smoke a cigar, play a little poker, and go to bed, man. It's pretty good. I'd like to tell you we're really roughing it out there, but it's actually really nice.
You teaching them young bucks a little racehorse rummy, a little point?
Oh, we're doing all kinds of, yeah. We're teaching them all the old card games. You know, back in the day, we used to play a lot of cards in the jocks room. They don't do that anymore. So, yeah, they're learning the game pretty quick. But I'll tell you, it's funny. Irad Ortiz was here last week, and he had to stay for a few days, and he had to stay in quarantine as well with us. And he absolutely loved it. I mean, if you get a chance to talk to him about it, he'll tell you how nice it is.
Yeah, we'll see Irad back here at Belmont next week, opening day, of course, on Wednesday. So from the living conditions to the riding, I know it's there's plenty of protocol there, and like you said, Santa Anita's really gone above and beyond to get back racing. From the competition standpoint, you have, again, you've ridden all over the world, including this year, right? Runner-up with Midnight Bizou. So you go to Santa Anita, and for all intents and purposes, anybody who was there for the 2009 Breeders' Cup Classic with Zenyatta said it was the loudest they've ever been in a racetrack. And you were aboard, of course. You had the best seat in the house. And rebel roused a little bit. You had that crowd on its feet and yelling and screaming. What kind of mindset is it now to ride past those same exact stands and have nobody in them?
Maybe it's quiet. It's really quiet. We can actually hear each other a whole lot better. I can tell you that much. I can actually tell you now if someone's coming on me, I can hear it a whole lot clearer. I don't even have to take a peek under my arm or even look into the big screen. I can actually hear if someone's coming. So that part is crazy. You can hear people yell a whole lot clearer. And you know, it is, you know, there's nothing like a great fan base, man, to put the electricity in the air and kind of get you pumped. But, you know, we're right now at this point, man, we're so happy just to be racing. And, you know, you're so focused and riding once the race starts anyway. But, you know, certainly in the post-race going out there, and if you've blessed enough to one coming back, man, there's no hurrah or no one, you know, cheering and screaming for you. As a matter of fact, you take a quick picture by yourself and you go back in the tunnel. So that part of it's pretty boring. We can't wait to get the fans back for that, but at least we got the sport going again, and people are able to watch and bet from home, and so right now we're just going to have to deal with that until we get the fans back.
Mike, Bobby Newman here. Anthony touched on the fact that, you know, you rode Zenyatta throughout her career. Looking at the list of big-name runners that you've had the pleasure of riding over the last 35 years or so, Awesome Again, Azari, Cherokee Run, Giacomo, of course, in the Kentucky Derby. We heard Holy Bull earlier, Justify to the Triple Crown victory, Lure, Palace Malice, Royal Delta, Shared Belief, Skip Away, Sky Beauty, Songbird, Thunder Gulch, Unbridled Song, just to name some. But for most of us around this age, one of the most impressive races that we can recall was the 2017 Dubai World Cup won by Arrogate, where it looked like he was hopelessly left at the start and not only won the race from dead last, passing everyone in the race, including Gunrunner, and winning by daylight. What do you remember about that day and that particular race?
Well, what a relief it was to win after everything that happened at the start. I mean, I honestly, I thought that if he you know, if he ran his race and got his opportunity, I mean, he should probably put this field away pretty handy at that time. You know, he was just an incredible racehorse, you know, but getting left like that and spotting a field of that talent, man. I mean, again, you said, you know, I ran by Gunrunner, you know, to win the race. You know, spotting him anywhere from 10 to 15, maybe even further lengths, and for him to go ahead and make that ground up, and again, not only win the race, but kind of won the race well in hand. I mean, I got after him just enough to get on by everybody, and I just let him kind of coast on in that last 16th of a mile, which was an incredible race that he ran. You know, in doing so, it might have taken a little bit of toll on him afterwards. You know, his last couple of races, he certainly didn't get the opportunity to run like he did before. But wow, if you were ever going to pick a time to just, you know, run out of your skin, that was the day. Again, it was, you know, it was too bad that had to happen really at the start, because maybe we'd have seen him finish the year out a little stronger. But I think it showed how talented that horse truly was. He was just an amazing racehorse.
Talking with Hall of Famer Mike Smith. I have to tell you what, after that list Bobby just led, I'm not going to call you the King of Queens anymore. I'm just going to call you the King.
Man, I like to have a big old chalkboard with all those names on there and hang it up in my house. I actually have a thing of some of the champions I rode, but man, there's a lot that Bobby named there that I don't have on there. I'd like to put them all on there.
Yeah, it's a long list, and it's a well-deserved list. So, not many people in the.
A lot of that has to do with my age too. I've been around a long time.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
The opportunity.
Songbird into Arrogate. You know, I love my Songbird. Songbird into Arrogate. Justify the following year. These are all after the age of 50 in a game where this just doesn't really happen a lot. And now you get hit with something like this, and I hate to be the one, but do you start to think that, you know, if this is going to be how it's going to be for a while, is the end nigh?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Tony, when this first all hit everything, I thought, shoot, this could be the end of my career, man. If we don't get back started, I don't know if I'm going to. You know, I mean, I'm healthy. I'm in great shape. You know, one thing I did right early on was, you know, really picked up physical fitness and made it a way of life. And man, it's really paying off in my later years as far as, you know, being an athlete. I mean, I'm every bit as good a shape now as I was in my, you know, mid to late 30s, to be honest with you. But what it did do, which was crazy, was I of course, you couldn't go into a gym, so I needed to stay busy. I needed to stay fit. I wasn't going to just sit around. I think I would have just probably gave up if that was the point. But what I did was I just doubled up on my cardio, man. I mean, I started, you know, where I'd run a 10K every morning, which is like 5 miles, 5-6 miles every morning, come home, eat a light lunch, rest a little bit, watch a little TV. Mid-afternoon, jump on my bike, man. I'd ride anywhere from 15 to 20 miles, and I just did that every day. Every day until the time we just started back last week, and I can honestly tell you that I think I'm fitter than I was when we stopped as far as endurance-wise, because, man, I rode the first 2 weeks, and I had a heck of the first 2 weeks, and I felt just absolutely wonderful on the horse. So I'm kind of liking this, you know, right now, and I'm thinking maybe this will, you know, make my career even a little bit longer than I was expecting. You know, I was liking, you know, I want to go another couple of years, but, man, if I can stay like this, I might make another 4 years.
That's great news for everyone. It's funny, you know, whenever I try to interview, we try to hook up these interviews. Mike never says no. It's always, he's always either done exercising or getting ready to go train. And between his training regimen and my training regimen, it's hard sometimes to find.
It's hard to connect, man. We're too busy being in training. My man.
Everything else good, Mike?
Everything is really good, man. It really is. The family's all healthy, and everyone's doing great. And you know, we're getting through this little by little. And I see, you know, I see some positive stuff coming out of Santa Anita now, which is really, really good to see. You know, I think we're digging ourselves out of the hole that we're in, and I can see some light, and hopefully things will get back going. And who knows? You know, stuff like this sometimes has a weird way of really coming out brighter at the other end. So that's what we're certainly hoping for, and it's what it kind of feels like. I can feel it coming.
I saw a lot of – I saw they were allowed owners were allowed for the first time to watch horses train this morning from the grandstand.
Little by little.
That was pretty good.
Owners can come now. They got an area there where they got to come. You know, they take their temperature, and then as long as they all pass the temperature test, and then they can – they got no symptoms. There's an area there that they can all come in and watch the horses, which is a good area. It's right there by the wire. They can all just, you know, hang out and check them out, have a little coffee there. And although there's still no fans that get to come to the grandstand, but at least we get to start. New York's starting up soon, man, so I'm excited. I should be in town there hopefully on the 20th, it looks like, so can't wait for that as well.
Hopefully we can go to the King Umberto's and grab some of them Cappellini cakes.
Oh, that'd be nice. after I ride.
after the King of Queens takes over the Big Apple one more time. Mike, thanks for some time today. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm
Stay healthy.
Thanks, all right, Mike. Gentlemen. Thank you guys for having me on.